the Texans brought in Marquette King, the former punter of the Broncos and the Raiders, in for a visit yesterday. We don't know if they're going to sign him or not, and I'm wondering if they actually need an upgraded punter, but Marquette King is a weird personality. This is Marquette King's interview with our friends at 104.3 The Fan in Denver last year. Now, the background is he was brought in, he was new to the team, and they had him on the air, and it was very bizarre.
It's Stokely and Zach sitting down with Marquette King, newest member, one of the newest members of the Denver Broncos. Now that 6 days of training camp are in your back pocket, how would you summarize it for yourself personally?
I don't know. I don't even know how to summarize it.
Good?
It's like a regular practice day.
How's the transition been from you? You know, new team, new locker room, obviously, you know, moving from Oakland to Denver. How has that transition been for you?
I don't know. I just...
Good?
It's cool. We got some cool people on the team.
Nice. Yeah. How is your relationship so far with the coaching staff, the brand new coaching staff as well? You getting along well?
Yeah. Everything's going good.
You always got a lot of personality, but it doesn't seem you have a lot to say right now. You frustrated about something in particular or something?
I just don't like talking about football, really. I just do it.
Well, tell us about yourself. Who is Marquette King? What do you like to do? What do you enjoy?
I know I like more oxygen.
is altitude bothering you a little bit? I know it takes some time to get adjusted.
I get on my nerves sometimes, but, I mean, it's my job, so, yeah.
How much are you looking forward to games starting here a week from tomorrow, you know, preseason games, and get, you know, opportunity to really strap up?
I don't know. I mean, it's definitely coming, so.
All right, we'll leave it there. Have a good rest of your day, man. Yeah,
thanks a lot. Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
That was Marquette King on 104.3 The Fan in Denver.
I approve.
You like it?
Yeah. You know what you got to do there? I'm not criticizing the guys doing the interview because we've been in that same boat before.
A couple times.
You got to go, as soon as you get into there and you realize, all right, the guy doesn't want to have a cliche football interview, then it becomes, all right, well, maybe he would want to talk about other stuff. Then you just got to start asking about Avengers and things like that.
Anything.
And then you might realize, all right, this guy just doesn't want to talk because it's training camp and it's hot. Those post practice interviews in training camp suck. They're the worst, especially like in Houston when you're not in the bubble. You get done with practice and you're like, as a lineman especially, you might be like 10 pounds dehydrated. You just want to get in and get water, and you've got people asking you these questions, and it sucks. It's not the worst thing in the world. It's not like I'm saying it's a bad job or anything. But the last thing on earth you want to do right there is chat. And that's what he sounded like.
It's a better climate there.
The thing with Marquette King is his former teammates have had some interesting things to say about him. Now take it for what it's worth that it's coming from Cordarrelle Patterson. But when Cordarrelle Patterson was talking about him, because they'd been together with the Raiders, he said, quote, "People didn't like him. He was kind of like a diva, but he wasn't. He wouldn't show it that much. He was just crazy, man. He had fun, though. I respect him as a person, but he just did things a little different." I can't tell if he's trying to be diplomatic there or if he's saying that, like, Marquette King isn't liked, but it's because people don't get him or understand him.
Yeah, he's clearly being a little bit diplomatic here, but you can tell that Marquette King for a punter is a different kind of personality.
You know what he might be a little bit like, and it might be he might not get the benefit of the doubt because of it. Jamal Anderson, remember the running back from the Falcons?
Yes, Dirty Bird.
He had a really different sense of humor, like really, really dry and ironic and kind of sarcastic. And he would talk about himself. He would talk about himself like in a bragging way. It was a complete joke. But if you didn't know him and you met him, you'd think like this guy was the most egotistical guy on earth. But he was actually really, really funny.
He was just a weirdo.
But he wasn't even weird. I mean, he had a couple incidents in the last few years. But as a player, like, I got to know him a little bit because one of my good friends was really good friends with him from, like, junior college. And it is, like, when you first meet him, you're like, this guy won't shut up about how awesome he is. And then you realize, like, he's completely joking. He's just got a really unique sense of humor. I wonder if Marquette King is like that. And maybe some guys, dryness and irony don't always go over well on football teams. A lot of guys just flat out don't get it.
Yes.
So maybe Marquette King as a punter is a little bit like that, and people just don't get it.
I'm just surprised that they were bringing somebody who has any sort of controversial personality as a punter.
Yeah.
And for the record, I do like Trevor Daniel. I think he had a very promising rookie season. I think he's someone who can be better.
He he had a very promising rookie season, but it's not like he had such a great performance that he doesn't need competition.
Understood. He's not Ray Guy.
I would worry, though, that Marquette King coming in is a guy that like could destroy a punter's confidence, if that's such a thing.
Maybe.
Is that a thing? Jonesy, have you ever seen a punter have his confidence destroyed? No.
I think a punter would destroy his own confidence. I don't know if I'm a punter, if somebody else comes in, my confidence would be destroyed by somebody else booming punts.
If you're a punter that's even in the conversation about having your confidence destroyed, then you don't deserve the job.
Yes, yeah. I agree with that. And I'm also wondering, I get the idea that competition is a good thing in life and in sports and at punter, but there's not a ton of competition right now at receiver and running back. So if you're telling me, hey, let's bring in some more competition, I would have picked those two spots.
Well, okay, but can you not bring in other competition because you've got Marquette King in? Do you think they're are you giving them that little credit over there? That
they
Brian
can.
Gain and Bill O'Brien are in a room this morning like, well, gosh, look, there's three good receivers out there and we'd love to discuss it, but we need to spend all day. We're going to bunker down and talk about Marquette King all day. We're going to have a powwow. Call your family. Tell them you're not coming home for dinner. We got to talk Marquette King. There will be no talk of receivers, backup quarterbacks, or anything else.
Well,
I think you can bring it in. You want competition everywhere. It's like Brian Gain talked about at the golf tournament the other day.
We will find out if they do sign Marquette King. McLean's going to be in here today at 7:40 this morning.
If you want, so I am a fan of signing Marquette King because I think Trevor Daniel has a future as a punter, but he did nothing last year that suggested he shouldn't always be worried about his job until he shows something better. Like, okay, he was better than a 44-year-old Shane Lechler. That's not the same as being as good as Shane Lechler in his prime. Very few punters don't deserve any kind of competition whatsoever.
Well, that part I agree with.
Yeah, Shane Lechler in his prime, don't bring anybody in to compete with him. Trevor Daniel needs to feel that breathing down his neck of like, okay, I can't be shanking punts in critical situations here. I've got to just be sure I continue to improve.
We've got a massive Game 5 tonight with the Rockets and the Warriors. This is one of the biggest games of the last 25 years. This is a chance to be one home game away from pulling what would be a legendary upset against the two-time defending champions. And what we're wondering this morning, have the Rockets become America's team? Because I'm telling you, the Rockets should be America's team right now. Everybody in the country should be rooting for the Rockets to dethrone the Warriors tonight. But Colin Cowherd of Fox Sports 1 is not feeling that take on the Rockets. Mm.
So you're telling me you're all rooting against the dynasty, Golden State. You sure about that? You want the Houston Rockets to be the team of record in the NBA. Are you sure about that? A soccer team of floppers. James Harden should change his name to Floppy McFlopster. International soccer teams watch the Rockets and say, enough already. This is a team built on iso ball, free throws, and flopping. If the Houston Rockets were a sound, this is what they would be. That's what you're looking for. That's what you want. Houston shot 50 triples last night. In the series, they've already shot 55 more than Golden State, who I thought invented that style of play. I mean, not all dynasties and champions were fascinating. Michael Jordan's Bulls were fascinating. Showtime Lakers were fascinating. Tim Duncan's Spurs, not that fascinating. I do not want I like Daryl Morey. I love Chris Paul. I've come to terms with what James Harden is. But you all want the Warriors to sit and watch the finals. Okay, remember, if the Rockets were a sound, we all know what the sound would be.
Oh, that's good. It's good that he doubled down on that joke. That was the true genius moment. It was like, hey, I know you were laughing hard the first time we did the whistle.
Let's
just remember that joke I told you 47 seconds ago? Ha! Play the whistle sounder. Also, do you think he wrote Floppy McFlopster himself, or do you think a writer wrote that? I think a writer wrote that.
Yeah, I think somebody probably suggested that.
Yeah. Look, this is what Colin Cowherd does, and he makes the key and critical mistake that a lot of people in sports media do, is that they think that any fan gives a damn about who the next dynasty is, or that they want a dynasty. He said, let's see, the Showtime Lakers were fascinating. That's great. Yeah, I remember back when the Lakers were dominant, how everybody in the league was like, hey, oh, glory be to God, we've got a fascinating dynasty. That's what we want, is a fascinating dynasty. If you're in Portland, if you're in Washington, D.C., if you're in Houston, what you want is another team other than your own to be a fascinating dynasty. Go screw yourself. Nobody wants a damn dynasty. They want their team to be. Yeah, that's right. Floppy McFlopster.
I thought that was a pretty lame nickname, actually. I felt like they could have done
it. I'm
going
to call
better.
Colin McCoward Disgrace to Irishman. That's my Disgrace to McIrishman Flopster issues.
The Rockets are more interesting than the Tim Duncan Spurs, right?
Yeah. But I don't care. I don't care. This is what Rockets. No. This is what Rockets fans need to stop doing. Is worrying about
caring?
Yes. No. You need to stop caring about what style points anybody else wants to give you. Freaking own it. We gotta be our own damn cult here of 6 million people in Houston. I don't give a damn if Colin Coward prefers our style of play. I don't prefer his style of radio. Well, let's see. We as a people like to make judgments about things. And let me tell you a story about a book I read about Warren Buffett. This is what Warren Buffett does. Boring businesses. That's why I bring you boring radio, because I like to make analogies about Warren Buffett and translate them to sports so you think you're learning something as you listen to my radio. I don't give a damn what Colin Coward thinks of the Houston Rockets. I don't give a damn what Tim Tebow thinks of the Houston Rockets. I sure as hell don't care what Steve Kerr thinks of the Houston Rockets. All I want is for my team to win a championship. So Colin Coward can not give the Rockets style points all he wants. It doesn't change the fact that they are on the brink of dethroning one of the greatest dynasties we've seen in basketball in modern NBA history. And it doesn't, I don't care if he likes the style of play. I don't care if he thinks that Harden is accentuating the contact that is actually happening, the fouls that are called. I don't give a single damn, because Colin Coward, as he sits on his weird throne that he created in that studio of his, where he has to sit like 8 feet higher than his guests to try to make them uncomfortable or something. Very, very strange psychologically. It's very odd psychologically what Colin Coward is trying to do in that studio. But the mistake he makes is in thinking that the fan is the same as sports media. Colin Coward wants a fascinating dynasty because then he gets to talk about it every day.
But the fans don't care.
The fans don't give a damn. Nobody wants a dynasty unless it's their team's dynasty.
But I really believe this part. The Rockets are now America's team. The Rockets tonight should absolutely be America's team from coast to coast. If you live in Des Moines or Miami or North Carolina or California or Seattle, you have to be rooting for the Rockets tonight. This is now America's team. Kevin Durant ruined the league by going to Golden State.
Yeah.
He stacked the deck unlike any team has ever been stacked in the history of my lifetime as a sports fan.
Plus,
people have to be rooting for the Rockets. They are now America's team.
And Colin can focus on the threes all he wants. The fact of the matter is that it's the Rockets' defense that's really making a difference here.
Excellent.
And it's
point.
The fact that the Rockets' defense and their team, the way it's composed, like a bunch of bulldogs compared to the Warriors, who now with even skinny Draymond Green want to be more of a finesse team than a bulldog team. They're getting out-physicaled by the Houston Rockets. And the Houston Rockets are scaring them and bullying them off the three-point line to the point where they're taking more bad shots than they ever have. That's the story of the Houston Rockets right now, that they're a scrappier team. You can whine and complain all you want about all those other things that every other team in the NBA does as far as flopping and accentuating contact, all that. The fact of the matter is the Rockets are playing the exact kind of defense they need to stop the Warriors.